Welcome to the Nasher Museum of Art at Duke University and the exhibition Alexander Calder and Contemporary Art, Form, Balance, Joy. This exhibition was organized by Lynn Warren, curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art, Chicago. Here she describes how she developed the idea of pairing the work of Alexander Calder with that of contemporary artists.
About 5 or 6 years ago, I started noticing as I was going around visiting galleries and artist studios that there was definitely a return to an interest in modernism. Modernism has always played in the field of contemporary art, but mostly modernism has been considered something that you work against as a contemporary artist. Now, the artists seem to be actually looking to modernism to learn lessons from it, because I think they're just a generation enough removed from it to not feel like they need to rebel against it. It's not just Alexander Calder that these artists are looking at. It really is modernism in general, but Alexander Calder, of course, is an iconic modernist artist. So I saw that starting to happen and thought, well, could it be that artists are starting to look at Alexander Calder? And I did notice a few of the artists I saw, like Nathan Carter and Martin Boyce, who are making out-and-out mobiles or just really obviously influenced by Calder, and thought, wouldn't it be interesting to get all those Calders out in the main galleries and pair them with the work of contemporary sculptors who are obviously looking at Calder or are influenced in some way. They are all basically late 30s to mid 40s. They're what I would call rising international artists, and they were all pretty much schooled in the mid to late 90s. So I think there was a kind of generational shift where the artists, they all became very interested in making things themselves, in tinkering, in putting things together and seeing what happened, as opposed to having a plan. And they all started, I think, looking to a different model of how to make art around that time, especially in sculpture.
As you take in the many mobiles and stabiles by Alexander Calder in the front of this gallery, Nasher Museum Curator of Education Julien Chevalier discusses modernism in art history and why Calder is such a good example of this movement.
Modernism in art history basically ranges from the 1860s to the 1970s. And the modernists were reacting against academic art. So this is traditional art, usually focusing on ancient history or Bible stories. They were idealized scenes. And modernists had this shift to portraying the everyday, not these idealized things. They could explore things that were personal to them and mattered to them. They weren't trying to please a patron necessarily. It's important to know that modernism is an overarching title that encompasses many movements, things like impressionism and cubism. Those are part of modernism. Modernism is a much larger umbrella term. So modernism starts off with a push to be more personal, to be more realistic. And as it progresses over the years, the trend is towards abstraction. So artists like Picasso is a key modernist and makes things more and more and more abstract. And other artists are doing the same. And then the main focus of the artwork is formalism. So looking at the pure form, the shape, the color, the line, how the artwork is composed, how those elements work with one another in kind of their most basic and pure forms. And that's really what you see with Calder. It's all about the pure joy of the color, the balance, how things are physically balanced, how things are visually balanced. And those are the things that Calder celebrates. Sometimes there's recognizable objects or references in his work, but sometimes they're purely abstract compositions, and we're encouraged to enjoy them for just that.
Your next stop is at the back of this gallery at a mobile by contemporary artist Martin Boyce called Fear Meets the Soul. Look for the audio guide icon on the wall label. Please press pause before moving on. Sarah Schroth is the Nasher Museum's Nancy Hanks Senior Curator of Art. She is the coordinating curator of this exhibition at the Nasher. She discusses her reason for displaying this mobile with Calder's mobile, 10-5-4, the red, black, and white sculpture nearby. Schroth will also reference the Calder sculpture Little Long Nose, which is a stabile, meaning it sits on the ground and does not move. You can see Little Long Nose if you look towards the front of the gallery and to the right. It's all black and it is sitting on the gallery floor.
Martin Boyce is a very interesting artist. He's from Scotland. He lives in Glasgow. And this piece, Fear Meets the Soul, is really gorgeous. The wooden section is a leg splint that was designed by Charles and Ray Ames. They were very famous modern designers. And it's a beautiful object. And this is the way, you know, Boyce is seeing it also as a beautiful object. But his title clues us into something different because the title says, Fear Meets the Soul. And so the leg splint could represent fear because it was designed for soldiers in World War II. And then he's got just this raw piece of industrial metal hanging at the very bottom to balance it, this painted red. So he's using black and red the way Calder does too. And it's a very interesting comparison. I hung it on purpose very near the work called 10-5-4 because, you know, it's got some of the same elements. It's got a very prominent red element in the composition. It's got a very prominent black element in the composition. And it's got this form, this black, almost like humanoid form draping off one arm of the piece. And that, if you turn around and you look at Little Long Nose, which is another stabile that Calder did, you can see the relationship, I think, between those, that sort of human or animal-like form and then this form that Boyce uses. It's the same vocabulary, but it's very different.
Your next stop is at the front of this gallery. It is a stabile sculpture called Portrait of the Artist by Calder. It's all red and has three circles cut out at the top. Please press pause before moving on. National Museum curator Sarah Schroth discusses this work.
So the Portrait of the Artist is a, you know, very whimsical, sort of funny image of, you know, there's a head sort of, but it's very abstracted. There are three holes. And if you look at those three holes, they could sort of look like the opening of an eye, the opening of a mouth, the opening of a nose. The little peak at the top could look like the top of the head. You know, it could be somebody even laughing.
Your next stop is between this gallery and the next. It is the work Hanging Garden, which you will see in the nook on your left after you exit this pavilion. Please press pause before moving on. Artist Christy Lapeer talks about the inspiration for her work, Hanging Garden.
So I was in Mexico and my husband and I were in this beautiful town called Guanajuato, and sitting outside there were these great chandeliers that were made out of metal of roses painted, and I thought, oh, that's so great, I totally want to try to make that. I have no idea how. I go home, I'm looking into it, I didn't like that they were painted, like I like the raw material as the raw material, and so I decided to look outside my own garden and remake every plant I owned. So all these were plants that I had at the time that I made this. And then I love the idea of the chandelier. There's not enough stuff that hangs from the ceiling as far as I'm concerned, so that's definitely something else I wanted to do. And then just kind of create this gross but attractive, like it's kind of this awkward construction, but I really like that part of it. Part of what's not fun about my practice is changing materials and having to constantly try to figure out how to use materials properly, fixing things that don't work. I'm never an expert in any one craft because of that. And so in terms of soldering these, there's the joints are so delicate. The wiring is so small. The fact that I mixed metals did not help, but I didn't really care about structure. I was thinking, oh, I would rather there be a play of metals. I kind of like these random parts that stick out, the gold of the brass and some of the silver parts. When I was in Paris, this is during undergraduate studies, and I went to the Museum of Contemporary Art there, and they had a big retrospective of Calder. And it's the first time that I ever saw his work in person. And they were beautiful, huge mobiles that you could walk through, and as you walk through them, you know, they're moving and vibrating, and that significantly altered me. I was a drawing and painting major that never stuck to the wall ever again.
The next stop is the work behind you with the long poles and multicolored scarves. Please press pause before moving on. Lynn Warren, curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art, Chicago, discusses this work by Abraham Cruz Viejas.
Abraham Cruz Viejas is really one of the artists that really set me on the course to think about doing a show like this. I was introduced to his work through one of my colleagues here who put a show together called Escultura Social, which dealt with artists from Mexico City. And he's an artist from Mexico City who really deals with his own particular environment and picking up found objects, more or less, and recombining them in different ways to make a social commentary. He was invited, however, to the Atelier Calder, which is Calder's old studio in Sache, France. They have a residency program there, and he was a resident 4 or 5 years ago now. And he created this piece in Calder's old studio, combining aspects of his own heritage, these fishing poles and the scarves from a province in Mexico, with a wine rack that he picked up there in France. This Calder studio is located in the Loire Valley, which is a big wine growing area. So this combines two different continents, two different influences, two different time frames of influence, and the rethinking of how air currents work with these wonderful scarves and flags that hang off the bamboo fishing poles just really set my mind, you know, in motion about how contemporary artists can reinterpret a formal device that Calder came up with, which is really his signature, works that move on air currents.
Your next stop is the large blue sculpture that you see immediately as you enter the next pavilion. Please press pause before moving on. Artist Nathan Carter discusses his work, Traveling Language Machine.
This piece is one in a series of three traveling language machines. And it's based on an animated piece I saw about a house that floats across the landscape just off the ground. And I imagined this to be a kind of moving radio station, almost as if you'd set up a pirate radio station inside of a train and it was traveling somehow, and it broadcasted as it was traveling across the landscape. So this is actually kind of animated in a way of almost like an animal with a kind of typewriter mechanism and radio towers and sounds that are coming out of the towers, and all of these letters are musical note kind of shapes are what you might hear if you could see what's coming out of the towers. It's a visualization of a radio broadcast. All of the pieces that I make have these stories that I'm imagining while I'm making the pieces, and they're about these scenarios of pirate radio, clandestine coded communication, like two spies communicating through a short burst radio, kind of secret wireless radio broadcast. All of the work I've been making is somehow based on this idea of communication or miscommunication, when cell phone conversation breaks down and you can't quite hear exactly what's being said. So it's the difference of someone trying to explain meeting a group of Chechnyans and then that being misunderstood as a group of Czechoslovakians.
Turn to your left for the next stop. Please press pause before moving on. Sarah Schroth talks about her decision to place Calder's performing seal next to Christy LaPierre's fumigated sculpture.
Christy LaPierre's piece is a reference to the tents that are put over houses in L.A. where she lives when they're fumigating the house. So there's this sort of connection in a way to insects and natural life, although it's being terminated. But there's still this reference. And also, she is balancing one element on top of the other, almost like a seal does, you know, on its nose. And I thought that formally they related to each other as well as conceptually.
Your next stop is around the small wall at the three bronze sculptures on a low pedestal. Please press pause before moving on. Even though Calder is known mostly for his revolutionary stabiles and mobiles, he also experimented with traditional bronze casting. Sarah Schroth discusses the three examples you see here.
These three pieces are unusual because they're made of bronze, and Calder didn't use this medium very much. It is interesting that he didn't start out with bronze like many sculptors do. You know, they make a plaster cast, they cast it into bronze. Well, Calder didn't start that way. Calder started with, you know, little pieces of wire and creative reuse of junk around him. So these are mid-career for him. These are very interesting to look at because, like the rest of his artwork, they involve balance. Each one of them has an independent part, and that independent part is balanced on the other independent part. It's really worth looking at closely to see that element of balance.
Next, look to your left at the large metal mobile by Martin Boyce, titled Concrete Autumn.
He wants you to think about these black, cut-out black steel pieces, industrial pieces, as leaves. I mean, the title's saying it, you know, concrete autumn, dead leaves, no ground. So he wants you to think of those as leaves floating down from the tree, but they're the farthest thing from natural leaf form. They're all very rectilinear with sharp edges. To me, it's a beautiful piece. It's an irony that these heavy, heavy pieces would be used in such a light medium of the mobile.
Your next stop is the nearby orange and yellow work by Aaron Curry. Please press pause before moving on. Sarah Schroth talks about this piece.
You look at the pieces of wood, and they're all interlocked in very interesting ways. And those shapes that he interlocks are bimorphic shapes, it's almost a circle, you know, almost an ovoid that Calder also uses. But you'd want to think about this piece in relationship to Calder's more monumental stabiles, like the three bollards that's in our Great Hall. But unlike the three bollards, which is painted black, here, Curry is staining that wood a very bright orange, really calling attention to it. And then the silk-screened imagery is very interesting. Those eyes, which sort of forms a face, but then the sort of almost graffiti-like strokes throughout. It's actually a very sophisticated piece with a lot of different parts that somehow all come together and work well as a composition and as a work of art.
Aaron Curry describes his work and its relationship to the work of Alexander Calder.
I mean, I didn't really grow up around art, and I came to Chicago, and it was my first experience of seeing real art outside of looking at it through books. It was just like an immediate reaction that was positive and exciting and made me want to make things. I originally started out as a painter while I lived here, and as you can tell, that there's a lot of aspects of my work where I'm dealing with this idea of two dimensions and three dimensions and trying to find a space in between there that kind of oscillates back and forth between those two. I do make smaller things, but I really like to sort of play with scale and how a person or a viewer, they sort of physically respond to it, not only like conceptually or as an idea, but how the body, how you feel your body and how you interact with the thing. And I try to sometimes make things that are like slightly bigger than human size or slightly smaller. I think it's really important, especially with sculptures. As you walk up to the thing and interact with it, it changes. You walk around it and from every side it's something different. And it's kind of like endless possibilities, and it's a really exciting medium.
Your next stop is a sculpture titled Pig Latin by Jason Meadows. It is made of red metal and sits directly on the gallery floor. Please press pause before moving on. Jason Meadows discusses his work.
This sculpture called Pig Latin was, the reference is loosely, first of all, the sort of linguistic game of Pig Latin itself, where you take a word, put the beginning at the end. And so I took six pigs, contour line drawing, steel pigs, and cut them in half and rearranged them. But it also had a lot to do with Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm, where I wanted to create a hierarchy of size. Animal imagery is something that I've used quite a bit because it lends itself really nicely to being able to work in an abstract manner, but still having a visual touchstone or a thematic touchstone. And simply, I think on a fundamental level, a simple interest in the anatomy of animals or just being interested in animals. I like the simplicity of that. Just working with the idea of representing something that is very recognizable to people, but not loaded in a way that it would rely on some kind of external politic. It can really be in and of itself.
Your next stop is a series of painted wood planks leaning on the five-sided column. Sarah Schroff talks about these works by Jason Middlebrook.
These works by Middlebrook are almost incongruous with everything else in the show. They're very unique pieces, and I think that their relationship to Calder has to do with the fact that they're found pieces of wood, and it's a creative reuse of a material. But Middlebrook, who's trained as a sculptor, is looking at these pieces for their shapes, and then this sculptor is painting on them in these, to me, very interesting networks of lines and colors. Very beautiful. I think they're strong works, especially if you see them as we do in the installation, sort of one by itself, but we can walk around the column and see all five.
The last stop is in the Great Hall. As you exit this pavilion, walk directly across the Great Hall to the mobile made of driftwood. Please press pause before moving on.
What it is it's driftwood that he collected in Hawaii when he was visiting Hawaii. And so that's why he says it's coming from all over the world, because, of course, it's washing up on the shores from the Pacific. And so these pieces of wood could come from anywhere. I heard Jason talk about this piece, and he said that his respect for Calder grew 1,000 times when he tried to do this mobile, because he had not realized how absolutely complicated Calder's mobiles are, the balance and the engineering that goes into making each piece balance off the other piece. He just found it a real challenge to do this piece, but I think he succeeded in the end. And it's a great idea about this wood from all over the world, and these heavy, heavy pieces. It seems that's what the contemporary artists are doing with his mobile. They're adding weight.
Thank you for visiting the National Museum of Art at Duke University. Please return your audio guide where you picked it up.